sinful nature, but instead follow the Spirit. Those who are dominated by this old way think about sinful things, but those who are controlled by the Holy Spirit think about things that please God. If your sinful nature controls your mind, there is death. But if the Holy Spirit controls your mind, there is life and peace. For the sinful nature is always hostile to God. It never did obey God's laws, and it never will. That's why those who chose are still under the control of the sinful nature are can please God. But you are not controlled by the sinful nature. You are controlled by the Spirit, the presence of God living in you. Since Christ lives within you, even though your body will die because of sin, your spirit is alive because you have been made right with God. The Spirit of God who raised Jesus from the dead lives in you. And just as he raised Christ from the dead, he will give life to your mortal body by the same Spirit living within you. So, dear brothers and sisters, you have no obligation whatsoever to do what your sinful nature urges you to do. For if you keep on following it, you will perish. But if, through the power of the Holy Spirit, you turn from it and its evil deeds, you will live. For all who are led by the Spirit of God are children of God. So you should not be like cowering, fearful slaves. You should behave like God's very own children, adopted into his family, calling him Abba, Father. For his Holy Spirit speaks to us deep in our hearts and tells us that we are God's children. And since we are his children, we will share his treasures. For everything God gives to his Son, Christ, is ours too. But if we share his glory, we must also share his sufferings. I want to talk to you briefly this morning about a new life that we have in Christ. If we can throw up the PowerPoint, that would be great. And I want to give you confidence in this new life that you can have this morning. About 4 years ago, I was told by a friend, have you heard what they're doing at TGI Fridays? Now, TGI Fridays is one of my favorite restaurants because it serves big food. That's all I need. And I said, no, what's happening at TGI Fridays? And they said, they turned 30 this year. And anyone else who turns 30 this year in 1986, okay, was born in 1986. I wasn't 30 in 1986. I'd look incredible. Anyone who turns 30 in this year, after 1986, if you were born in 1986, is what I'm trying to say, you can go and eat for free at TGI Fridays. And I said, you're making that up. And I looked online. It wasn't there. There was nothing there at all. And he said, TGI Fridays. And we went in and I said to the waitress, this person here is crazy. They've told me that I can eat for free today because I was born in 1986. And the waitress said, that doesn't sound right. Let me just go and talk to my manager. And then the manager came out and said, yep, no, fine, 1986, yep, show us something. Showed her my driving license. She said, fine, sit down, eat. And I thought, this is strange, right? So what I did on that first time, it was lunch, right? Is like, I ordered something cheap. Okay, I ordered like the cheapest thing I could find on the menu because I didn't really want to pay because I'd been told I didn't have to pay. And I ordered a small amount of food and then the bill came and it was free. And I said, this is crazy. And the person said, I know, right? So tell me, what do you do when that happens? You go back for dinner. You go back for dinner. So I went back for dinner and I said, I know I was here earlier, but I was born in 1986. And they said, come on in, eat. I ordered a bit more this time, right? Because I'm ordering a bit more. Bill comes, it's free. What do? You go back for breakfast. I go the next day. I say, I was born in 1986. And they say, fine, sit down. I get breakfast free. I ate over that week 5 times at TGI Fridays. It was free. And every time I order more food. And many people that you might know from this church who were also born in 1986 ate more than I ate. Right? Okay? Because as you start to realize that this thing is true, you grew in confidence, right? You thought, I'll order a bit more. I'll go back. I am learning to grow in confidence. Today, I want to give you confidence. Whether you know Jesus or whether you're here because a family member or a friend invited you, I want to give you confidence that there is a new life in Jesus for you and that you can step into it wholeheartedly. You can order everything off the menu. That's what this passage of scripture we just read is all about. It's about a new life, a new way of living brought about by the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. When we put our faith in that and step into that new life, we step into a life that is distinctly different from the one that came before. Not just slightly different. We've already read about some people's reaction to the resurrection of Jesus this morning, the disciples and the Marys, and they didn't just go and say, oh, well, I guess things are now slightly different. No, everything changed for the disciples. Their lives changed, and it's true for us today. Because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ, our lives will be changed. Jesus didn't rise again to make you a nicer person. That might happen, but it's not why he did it. He didn't rise again to give you something to do on a Sunday morning. That might happen, but it's bigger than that. Christianity, the faith in a Savior who lived and died and rose again, is not about an add-on to our life. It's about our whole life itself. It changes everything. That's what this passage is all about. And I want to share with you three things from what we just read. Three massive changes that we read about. Three new things that come to us through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. I want to talk to you about new forgiveness, new power, and new access. The first thing, new forgiveness. We read in verse 1 of chapter 8, there is now no condemnation. As a church on Sunday mornings, we've been studying the book of Luke together over the last few months. We've been seeing the kind of attitudes that religious leaders had and Jesus came to combat. One of those was the idea that there were people who, because of their lifestyle, the things they'd done or had been done to them or the things they continued to do, were condemned. They were beyond salvation. They were unworthy of love, affection, and values in the eyes of God. Jesus' message of grace and love stands so clearly in contrast to that. He came to show that all people are welcome in his kingdom if they come humbly, accepting that we've done things wrong, accepting that we cannot earn our own place in eternity. We cannot match up to God's holiness. The passage we read continued to use that phrase, sin and sinful nature. The Bible says that's our falling short, and we all do fall short. We all need forgiveness, but we can all access that through Jesus' life, death, and resurrection. You see, what Scripture teaches us is that Jesus, who knew no sin, that means he lived the perfect life. No one's ever come up with the words Jesus should have said or the things Jesus should have done. He lived perfectly. He who knew no sin became sin for us. On the cross, he became the sacrifice for our sin. As one songwriter puts it, every bitter thought, every evil deed, crowning his blood-stained brow. This, the power of the cross. Christ became sin for us, took the blame, bore the wrath. We stand forgiven at the cross. You can stand forgiven. No condemnation at the cross this morning if you will only recognize your need for his forgiveness. It's a free gift, but it changes everything. It means bringing your life, your sin, your falling short, your worldview to the foot of the cross and accepting his love, his grace, his mercy for you. Accepting that you can't get by on your own. Accepting that you're not perfect, but he has loved you despite of that. Jesus came for those who felt too filthy to ever be welcomed in and those too foolish to think they already had all the answers. Whichever one of those you are, or wherever you are in between, know this. Jesus loved you enough to leave his heavenly throne, to put on human skin, to live a life of temptation, poverty, and strife. He loves you enough to go to the cross, to be scorned and spat upon. He loved you enough to become your sin. He took it to the grave with him. But when he died, he left it in the grave for all those who have faith in him. If you have faith in him today, for new life, for new forgiveness, for no condemnation, then what you do is enter into a life of new power. The Spirit that raised him from the dead is now in you, we just read together. Jesus promises not only forgiveness in an external sense, a slate washed clean in the heavenly court, but internally as well. Through his own Spirit at work in our lives, we can know that we are forgiven. We can know a new power at work in us to help us live for him today. If you've ever felt weak or tired or burdened with the life that you have been called to, Jesus' promise is that the life he calls you to will be one in which you are empowered. You feel able to follow him in everything he calls you to. The very Spirit that split the grave is now at work in your heart. And to do two things in particular. The first is power to overcome. So that passage that we read talked about the stuff that we do that marks the sinful nature. And the Bible says that we might come to Christ thinking, well, I could never live as a Christian. I could never do what I'm supposed to do. I could never follow Jesus, really. That sounds like a very hard call. You need to know two things. We all continue to find it difficult. But we all continue to ask for God's help, the Holy Spirit's help. It's that power within us that enables us to overcome the things that we struggle with, the things that we feel enchained by, so we can say, my chains fell off, my heart was free. A very real power within us to release us from the things that bind us, power to overcome, and also power to display. It's important for those of us who know Jesus, who follow Jesus, to recognize this Easter day, that the power that raised Jesus from the dead is in us. You know, as you come to Jesus, humility is your friend. It allows you to say, I need your forgiveness. I need your power to live this life. But you must also come confidently, because this power within you helps you display Christ to the world around you. And that's what you're called to do. Son or daughter of God, you are called to display Jesus to the world around you. You know, your workplace, your school, your friends, your family, the places you go on a daily basis. Jesus has called you to display him to those spaces. And you can do that because of the power of God at work in you. You can step into those places an inch taller because the people within them are blessed to have you there. Because you can take the love of God, the justice of Christ, the grace and mercy of Jesus. You can take those things into those places and build the kingdom of God in those spaces. You, with the power of God within you, have an opportunity every day to display Jesus to the people around you. They are blessed because you are in their life. If you carry the power and the love and the grace of mercy into those circumstances, come humbly, with power to overcome, but come confidently, with power to display all that we love about Jesus to all those that we love. And finally, new access. We have access to our Father in heaven. I want to show you a quick video together. It's from something called the Alpha Course, and it's a video about the access that we have to the Father. So if we could play that now, Morgan, that would be great. Thank you.
The universe is vast. The sun, which is 93 million miles away from our Earth, is so large that 960,000 Earths could fit inside it. Did you know that the sun is one of 300 billion stars in our galaxy? Our galaxy is one of 100 billion galaxies. For every grain of sand on the Earth's beaches, there are a million stars. In a throwaway line in the book of Genesis, the writer says, he made the stars also, just like that, the whole universe. We pray to the creator of the universe. He's transcendent, outside of time, yet at the same time, he's imminent.
Prayer is to the Father, the creator and sustainer of everything. but it's also through the Son. Through Jesus' death on the cross, the partition, the barrier of sin has been removed and we have access to God. It's through Jesus, the Son, that we have access to God the Father. A young soldier fighting for the Union Army in the American Civil War lost both his father and his brother in the fighting. He needed to return to his family's home and help his sister, an elderly mother, with the spring planting on their farm. And so he went to Washington, D.C. to ask the president for exemption from military service. When he arrived in Washington, he walked straight up to the doors of the White House and asked to speak directly with the president. A young official standing guard told him, "You can't see the president. The president's far too busy to see you. Get back out there and fight like you're supposed to." So the young soldier left the White House, not knowing how he would break the bad news to his family. As he was sitting on a nearby park bench, the soldier looked at the boy, came up to him and said, "Why are you so pour out his heart?" He told the child that since his father and brother had been killed, he was the only man left in his family. He was desperately needed back at the farm, and the only person who could make it possible was the president himself. The little boy said simply, "Come with me." Taking him by the hand, the boy led the soldier back around to the White House. They walked through the back door, past the guards, past the generals, past the high-ranking government officials, until they got to the president's office. The little boy didn't even knock on the door. He just opened it and walked in. There, standing behind the desk, studying battle plans, with the Secretary of State was President Abraham Lincoln. The president looked up and said, "Oh, what can I do for you, Tad?" The little boy replied, "Dad, this man needs to talk to you."
Our Father, he's inviting us to share in the relationship he has with the Father.
The new access that we have is to the Father of all the universe. If you were invited to 10 Downing Street, or you were invited to the Oval Office to speak with people of power, whatever you thought of those people of power, you'd probably make time to speak to them. You are invited into the throne room of the Creator of the universe every day. He inclines his ear to hear your voice. American author Tim Keller says the only person who dares to wake up a king at 3 a.m. for a glass of water is a child. And we have that kind of access. We come to the King of all kings and we call him Abba, Father. Abba is the word a Jewish child would use if he woke up from a nightmare or fall down and scraped his knee. He'd cry out, "Abba, Dad." It's intimate, it's close. This is what the Creator of the universe wants to hear from you. We have new access to him. As Jesus extends his arms on the cross, it's like he extends his hand to us and says, "Come with me to the Father." As he bursts out of the grave, he extends his arm to us and says, "Come with me to the Father. Come and know new forgiveness. Know that I love you. Know that there's no condemnation. Come and know new power. The things that you're struggling with, know that I can help you. And come and know new access. I want to hear your very heart. I want to give you confidence this morning." So often, as those approaching God, as those who aren't Christians and are thinking about it, or those who are, we can approach him like that first step into TGI Fridays. "I don't really believe this is true. Could he really forgive me? Could it really happen?" And then you see it happen, but you still lack confidence and you think, does he really listen to me? Does he really want to hear my voice? Will he really give me power if I ask for it? I don't know. Could he? And you order a little more. I want to give you confidence to be like me at breakfast the next day. I believe that this is true. That forgiveness is on offer for you. That power is on offer for you. That access is on offer for you. We're going to come back to worship God. The band are going to come back up now. We're going to sing a song of worship, a song about the power of the cross. And I want to encourage you as we sing this song, and once we've sung it, the kids are going to come back in. We're going to continue to sing songs of praise and worship. But as we sing these songs, I want to encourage you. If you're here this morning and you know that you need to step into a relationship with Jesus, there's going to be an opportunity to do that. If you're here and you know you love Jesus, but you want his power at work in your life to overcome, I don't know, illness, sickness, difficulty, struggle. Or if you're here and you know, I just want to come before God and I want to pray to him, then during these songs, pray to him. He's here by his Spirit. And if you'd like to pray with somebody, pray with somebody. You might have come with somebody, pray with them. Or you might not know somebody to pray with, or you might want to make a moment. You can come out this little area with no chairs. We have people who are worshiping here who would love to pray with you. If you feel like, yeah, I'd love to pray with somebody, you can do that. Or just pray to him yourself. But we're going to sing a song together now. I invite you to stand with me as we sing about the power of the cross.